on what we can do to where people have a good understanding of what's going on. I was doing some research, and 65% of the people who have a perception of law enforcement, it is via their direct interaction with law enforcement. The other 35%, it's all based on what they see in the media.
Wolford says he wants to build a bridge between law enforcement and the community. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news.
I'm Diana Herr, and I work at PG&E in our Wildfire Safety Operations Center. As part of our commitment to keep our customers safe and to address the growing wildfire threat, PG&E has established a state-of-the-art Wildfire Safety Operations Center to monitor the risk of wildfires and coordinate prevention and response efforts. The new Wildfire Safety Operations Center will be staffed around the clock during wildfire season with highly trained specialists ready to respond to wildfire threats. Our operations center is a critical part of our community wildfire safety program. The center will also partner with local communities, first responders, and California's mutual aid and emergency response systems. With this new center, we can work even faster and better to protect our customers from the growing threats of extreme weather and wildfires. To learn more about the community wildfire safety program and how you can help keep your home and community safe, visit pge.com/wildfire safety.
Hola, mi valle.
This is Isela
and Gabriela,
your new host for La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela. Tune in to 1440 AM KVON
or stream KVON.com on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to our new show, La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela, to learn and listen about current topics, events, and happenings that affect our community.
Listen to your powerhouse Latinas every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to 10, La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela.
Every moment is just for you at Graton Resort and Casino. Go all in on exciting gaming action or celebrate at 12 great restaurants, 6 bars and lounges, nightly entertainment, and more. Book your stay today at GratonResortCasino.com.
This is Steve Gorman Sports.
Kelvin Benjamin looks worse than before. He looked ridiculous throwing Cam under the bus.
Yeah.
You can say your career would have been better with a better quarterback. The team let you go in the middle of the season last year, and he wants to say he would have been better served at a different team with a different quarterback.
Yeah.
When that quarterback approaches him to discuss it, he won't shake his hand and then says, I wasn't even trying to listen to him. I didn't want to know about it.
Right.
The strongest move possible for Cam Newton is to do nothing. But after Benjamin's reaction, I think Cam did know what he was doing, which was, I'm going to go out to meet him in midfield. Everyone's going to see it. Yep. There'll be no shortage of cameras on it.
They know it.
And I know Kelvin Benjamin enough to know that he'll act like a punk, and I will put him under my shoe and grind him to dust once and for all.
Because
that's
like
what
that.
Happened.
Yeah.
Steve Gorman Sports.
Check this out.
Yes.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
I like beer cause it is good. I drink beer because I should. If there was a song to sing, I sing it and beer you bring.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's good!
And now, from Napa Valley, California, it's Beer Nuts featuring brewmaster Colin Kaminsky.
Welcome to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. You know, I was thinking about it, and we drink more beer before 10 a.m. than most people drink all day. Hey, John,
what's going on? Welcome back, Colin.
Oh, thank you. I had a great vacation.
I heard you were in the trees.
Yep, went up to some old growth redwood and pitched a tent with the kids. And
so, where were you saying that was located?
It's up, it's Richardson Grove. It's California's oldest state park. It's up on Highway 101, just after one joins with 101 in Mendocino County there.
And you drank beer on your vacation, I hope?
You know, I did, and I learned something. Citronella candles ruin the flavor of IPA. Do not drink an IPA next to a citronella candle.
Is that a fact now?
Yep, that's a fact.
Well, it keeps the mosquitoes away, right?
Well, that was the idea. It didn't help any.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. So you were gone for how long?
I was gone 7 days.
Oh, yeah. That's a good vacation. That is a nice vacation. So I brought some beer. Should we start off with one? Because it's pretty early right now. I mean,
yeah, you're digging in early.
Damn. Well, what's your favorite saying? You can't get drunk. You can't drink or something like that.
You can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
There you go. Here we are in the morning. We're just gonna start with an easy one. Easy Jack. Is that all right? I mean, just to get our
brains going. So this is one we tried.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, and. So this bottle now is about 6 weeks old.
All right, so we're going to try it after it's set.
I want to see if it, I had two of these, and we had one on the air, and I want to see if it held up. And I would assume that Firestone's bottling with as low of oxygen content as possible, but it would be nice to see. And
there you go. Go ahead and check it out.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
This is Firestone's light. IPA, their session IPA, and I think he lists the alcohol on there 4.6 or something.
Slow.
Yeah, it's on the other side, John.
That's all right.
That's all right.
It's low.
Yeah, but I remember it being 4 something.
Yeah, this is still. So I mean, it's still got a lot of hops smell to it, even though it's been.
Yeah, it does. It still smells the same. I don't get any paper or cardboard character. I think it held up really well for being in my fridge for 6 weeks. And
yeah, I mean, how long would you normally say a beer would still retain its flavor?
It really depends on the style. So I've had 6-year-old kegs of Bigfoot from Sierra Nevada. They're big barley wine that tastes perfect.
Really?
In fact, tastes much better than when it was fresh. And I've had 1-month-old cans of Northeast IPA that are already showing signs of age.
Hmm. So with the Bigfoot, were they aged in a refrigerator or were they just left out?
No, aged in a refrigerator, yeah.
Okay.
So beer does not like to be hot and cold. One of the things that breweries do is they do, one of their tests that they do is called artificial aging. And they have a cabinet that they can put beers in. And they heat it up and cool it down and heat it up and cool it down every 15 minutes or so for a week. And that simulates 3 months of aging.
Just from heating it up, cooling it down, heating it up, cooling it down.
Yeah.
Just putting through like, you know.
So beer doesn't like to be hot and cold. It doesn't like to be sloshed around. You know, we talk about a flavor called Lightstruck, which in the U.S. we say skunked. In Europe, they say catty, because, it smells like cat urine. To me, skunked is one of the worst flavors you can get in a beer. It's why beer bottles are brown is because it's blue light that skunks beer. But also, motion skunks beer. So I did an experiment once where I took a really hoppy IPA, took a 6-pack and I put it in the trunk of my car. For a couple months, and it was absolutely skunky when it came out. Just terrible.
Really?
Yep.
So don't you guys use that as a descriptor, though, when you guys are doing the beer judging as skunky?
As an off flavor, yeah.
As an off flavor?
Yep.
Like the smell, the aroma, I hear some people say it's really skunky. Yep. That's not good.
Yeah, that's an off flavor, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I've used that before
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, catty's always been the better descriptor. So I've always used the European one.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of people in the U.S. use skunky. There's one of the reasons why I don't like to use skunky is there's a skunky character that
Pepe Le Pew
that people associate with marijuana. And that's different than the skunky character that beer gets.
Got it.
And they're not, it's a different molecule and a different aroma. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like to use skunky.
Yeah. So, well, you were out having fun. I was having fun also, Colin.
What'd you do, John?
Well, I did a few things, but one of the things that I did do that was local, which was pretty cool and it involved beer also. I went to the Silverado baseball game with a lot of regulars from Joe's. We had probably a group of about 20 people.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so 20 tickets, and we had a good deal where $20, you get a ticket, some beer and some appetizers. You meet at Joe's, and then we went over to the game. And you know what? It was very relaxing. You know, I haven't been to a baseball game in a couple of years just because I'm not a big baseball fan. But if you guys are looking for something to do, I mean, it's totally relaxing. They have food cart out there. Our buddy Merrick is running the food cart. He's been on the show before.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and he had, you know, he roasted his own peanuts. He had hot links, hot dogs, nachos. You know, he does specials every week. You know, he had a quesadilla. So it just depends. I know if anyone's out there and they're looking for something to do later on today, they do have a game. Starts around 6:30, and they're playing Martinez the Mariners, and the tickets are $10. But they also have beer there, and they have wine, a wine booth and a beer booth, and the beers run around $7, but they pour you a nice, you know, 16-ounce beer. But what I thought was interesting was we had our friends from Trade. They have an actual beer there that they call the Silverados that they have on tap.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a blonde. It was a nice, refreshing, crisp, you know, just kind of the beer you think, like when you go out to the ballpark, you want something nice and light, especially it's been very hot, you know, lately in Napa. Today is a nicer day, but as far as the heat goes, you know, if you're out there sitting with, you know, no shade and you have like a spicy hot link or something like that, nice crisp blonde beer. I mean, it went perfect. You know, I'm usually more of a hoppy beer drinker, but that beer was really good. That Trade made it. I think they just made it for the Silverado baseball team, and they always have it out there on tap.
Oh, that's really cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was great, and it's good for the locals. And you know, they had about 150 people out there, you know. I mean, not a huge amount of people. And usually when you have to go to a baseball game, like the Giants or something like that, you got to take the ferry over or you got to fight the traffic. Then you got to fight everybody to get in, you know. It just makes it really nice if you have a family or if you just want to go out and relax and you just want to get away for a while and watch these guys play. I saw some great plays. They hit a couple home runs. There was a catch by the, you know, right by the wall that was great. A couple good throws, double plays. I mean, these guys, you know, they're not professional, but they know what they're doing. I mean, there's some big guys out there. So, yeah, I recommend it. Finally went out there to see them, so. And, you know, it's priced right. It's $10 a ticket. It's local. Go out there and enjoy the game. So,
yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. You know, as much as I'm not sports, baseball is my favorite of the sports.
Yeah. You can relax out there and just
The problem with baseball is it's really boring to watch on TV.
Yeah, if you're there, it's better.
Yeah, it's much better.
Much better.
Yeah, you can – when you're out there, you can see, you know – number 23 comes up to the plate and the outfield moves in or the infield spreads out or, you know, you can see that there's a strategy going on and they don't show that on TV. On TV, all they show is this pitcher batter duel, but the game is so much more intricate than that. And it's so much more fun to watch, somebody on first base trying to distract the pitcher by pretending like he's going to steal and, you know, there's a whole bunch going on out there, and you don't get to see that on TV.
Or you can watch what you want to watch, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you want to watch the guy spit sunflower seeds in the and see if he's, spitting this guy's next to him's hair, you can watch that, you know. I guess, like you say, the camera doesn't dictate what you're watching.
Right.
Which makes it – I never really thought of it why I like watching baseball games there better, even though I'm not a huge baseball fan, but – like it better there, and I figured it was just the beer and the hot dog and the smell of the park and the grass and, you know, just everything going on. But
to me, baseball's like a big chess game. I mean, everybody's moving around and they're really smart about it. You don't get to even this level of playing without being a really solid player.
Yeah, I heard that they're doing a lot of like switchovers. You know what I mean? Like putting the guy in on third, like all the way in the middle. And then they do a lot of switches, and the guy on the shortstop's pretty much playing third base. I guess the baseball analytic guys figured out, you know, if you're a right-handed hitter, you have to move most of the team over to the left, you know, because
right.
They're hitting to the
right.
And all the computer simulated graphics and stuff that they have on these players, they're moving around even more than they used to. And, you know, some of the old school baseball players don't like all these switches and moves and shifts and all the stuff that they're doing, because the guys with the computer are saying, hey, if you're hitting this way, and this guy always hits to this gap, because they have track, especially professionally, they track everything.
Yep.
You know, every pitch, every bunt, every, you know. So, yeah, it's getting to the point where the computer is basically sending in a signal to tell you exactly where to be when this guy comes up to bat, which I think is really
interesting. So which rules do they use, American League or National League? Does the pitcher bat?
Yes, the pitcher does bat. Okay. So they use American League, I guess. And then another thing I did, which was pretty cool, one of our Beer Nut listeners got me some tickets to go to. His name is Bill. Hello, Bill, out there. I know you're listening. Thank you for the tickets. We went out to the Raider camp.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. Like, if any Raider fans are listening, they do have Raider camp today. Even if you don't have tickets to go, if you go to the Marriott Hotel, hang out there and have a couple beers and eat breakfast and hang or go for lunch, and you'll see these guys walking around because they stay there. You don't have, you know, if you're a Raider fan and you just want to see a couple of the players, they're definitely there. So you don't really need to go to Raider camp to see Raider players. I had some there, some of the coaches there last night. I don't know if I should be saying this on the air, but I know they
get them in trouble.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you guys are gonna have to get up earlier than I do to do the radio show. So I know they were out late, but anyway, I had a good time there. Also, they're looking pretty good, you know. They got some good players, so we'll see what happens. Carr looked really good. We also they got a couple running backs. Doug Martin, he looked pretty good. And then also, who else looked good? We got a new we're missing some people on defense, but Cleo Mack hasn't signed. I guess Mr. Penn, he's the D-tackle, he showed up today, thank goodness, because, you know, if you have, an offensive tackle for a Carr, you know, they're like the number two highest paid, believe it or not, the lineman, the offensive line is the number two highest paid player besides the quarterback, just because he's protecting the blind side of him, you know, so they don't lose their superstar quarterback. But anyway, the coaches said they're looking really good. But I mean, what the coach supposed to say? You know, we're not doing
right.
Anything.
I mean, so that's you a little can't insight. Go in. You can't walk in and publicly go, "Oh man, I can't believe I've got to work with this team this year." I was hoping I'd get another job.
Right. But the Marriott, they had a few local beers on tap. They had the Tannery there, which was pretty cool. Local brewery from Napa. So I was looking at that, and they have the label with the water tower on it.
And right.
Yeah. Now that I just like that label. So,
you know, I've always wanted to make that water tower into an apartment. Wouldn't that be a cool apartment?
That would be. I don't know how would you get up there? Take a ladder or elevator?
Well, so I've been up on top of it before. They had cell towers on it. I climbed up it once.
Oh, cell tower? You don't want that on there?
Yeah. Now it's cell towers, but before it was cell towers, I always wanted to put it into an apartment. And it looks to me like you could do a pretty cool little 3-story apartment in it.
Really?
And put an elevator up the middle?
I don't see why you couldn't, because everyone's doing those containers, the big containers that they have in Oakland.
It would take millions of dollars, but it'd be really fun.
Yeah, it'd probably cost a lot just to reinvent, make sure that it's all structurally sane.
Well, you know, it was designed to carry water, so it would carry an apartment pretty easy. An apartment's a lot lighter than that thing full of water. Oh.
I wonder if you could put water in there. It's just too much rust, and they'd have to refurbish everything if they want to put water back in there.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Or grain. Maybe they would just turn it into
a big grain silo.
Yeah. I mean, the brewery's right there, so. Yeah. So that training camp was pretty fun. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people there. I think it was for employees of the Marriott, so I don't know how I ended up with these tickets, but it was fun because there wasn't a lot of people. I've been there before, and it's just too many people, and you don't get to meet the players. And, you know, we got a couple autographs and everything, and it was a good time. It's just a nice, relaxing day out there. They were hitting that day, too.
What beers did the Tannery have?
They had one of their lower alcohol session IPAs there. I did not have one. I had a red beer. I know. I put tomato juice in a beer. It's probably,
oh, jeez.
It was so early, though. Like, I mean, like, this is early, but I think I met him out there at, like, 7:30 or something, like, something ridiculous. But so I just had a red beer just to try to act like I was drinking a beer, but it was mostly tomato juice. Right?
Carbonated tomato
juice. Yeah, exactly. But they have a good breakfast out there also. So you can eat there, lunch, whatever, dinner. A few of the bartenders I knew, which was cool. It's always nice, right? It's like a big family of bartenders. You know, every bartender knows you. You know every bartender. You know every brewery, right?
Yeah, well, and I know most of the service people in town, too, at this point, yeah.
Yeah, working in restaurants so long, they know who you are. So it's always cool.
I mean, I did, if you count the time I was assistant to Lance at Joe's and the time that I consulted after I left, I was there 3 months short of 20 years.
Wow, that's putting in time.
Yep.
So, yeah. I'm up there, too. I'm 17 right now at Joe's, not including the 10 I put in at the Red Hen. So, yeah, that's a lifetime of people in Napa and serving people and seeing people. So I know everybody that drinks for sure, and not too many people that go to church.
You're funny.
It's true, though. I mean, I know most of the people that are out there partying, drinking or relaxing, but the people that don't get out, I don't know who they are because they don't get out.
So I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
How many breweries do you think are in the United States?
Oh, it's a lot.
I know it's a lot. How
should
many?
I just say a lot?
Nope.
So you figure there's
so Craft Brewers Association released their 2018 snapshot. So they have a count now.
They have an official count, like down to the number.
Yep.
Exactly, almost.
As of the date of the snapshot, so July 31st, 2018.
And how are they getting this information off the alcohol?
Yeah, off the licenses.
Okay. Oh, how many? So there's 50 states, so there's probably at least 100 in each state, right? I'm going to say 50,000?
That would be 1,000 in each state.
Yeah, 1,000 in each state.
No way.
No?
No. So 6,655 is the number.
How much?
6,655.
Okay, so if there's a 100 in each state.
That would be 5,000.
Yeah, that'd be better.
So better than 100 in each state. And that's way up. You know, when we started doing the radio show, it was like 2,200, 5 years ago. It was like maybe 2,500, 2,600, I don't know. It was less than 3,000. The last number I saw a few years ago was 3,500. And there's at least 3,000 breweries in some degree of planning. Bart Watson, chief economist for the Brewers Association, I'm reading from craftbeer.com here, tempers this news with caution for existing brewers and those looking to come online soon. So this is the first time I've really heard the Brewers Association say, hey, you know, we've got a lot of breweries. Maybe you ought to put those plans on hold. And
we always talked about it tapping out, but like you said, there's 3,000 that are still getting ready to open up.
And it's not going to be very long that there's more breweries than wineries. There's already more breweries than there's ever been in the United States. So we finally passed pre-prohibition numbers.
You would think that there'd be more breweries than wineries because breweries are a little bit easier to open up. You don't need as much space. You don't need as much land for the...
Well, you can buy grapes and open a winery. So not all of these not all of these wineries have vineyards. So the advantages to opening a winery are wine is a little bit easier to make as far as keeping clean because it's higher in alcohol and lower in pH. You don't have as many problems with microbes. On the other side of that, on the flip side of that, the you have to age it longer, so you need more storage space. So it's a catch-22. There's some advantages to brewing, and there's some advantages to winemaking. And I don't know. It's crazy.
So they're saying that we're pretty much hitting the bell curve.
They're finally starting to say to you know issue a little bit of a warning. We also produced the highest volume of craft beer last year ever,
compared to every country besides us. Or?
No. Compared to our history.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Let's see. 2018 will have the highest number of brewery openings and closings of any year they've done it. However, even as breweries close, openings continue to far outpace the number that shutter, says Watson.
Watson the computer? Or
no, Watson the Brewer Association. The computers are taking over. Yeah.
Okay. The computers haven't taken over yet.
No, no.
Not yet.
No,
they're getting ready to.
But, you know, it's interesting. The brewers, a lot of these guys that started brewing, you know, 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, started brewing because it wasn't the mainstream thing to do. You know, when everybody was drinking Budweiser, some of us were out there seeking out these weird exotic beers. And now that it's become the cool thing to do, a lot of us old brewers are like, well, it's kind of become a little bit too corporate here, you know, and I don't know.
It's kind
of
like
it's a weird feel now. A lot of people are keeping secrets, and we never kept any secrets. And I don't know. It's a weird feel in the industry the last 5 years.
Well, that's interesting. It's kind of like fantasy football when it first started off, right? Not that many people were doing it. Everyone had to get it off the newspaper. And now everyone's doing fantasy football. I mean, they have whole shows like dedicated on ESPN for like 3 hours of their fantasy draft before the fantasy draft. You know, it's like, what are you guys doing? You know, because when I used to do it, you know, everyone had to work hard, and it was a small knit group of us. And I haven't done it in like 3 years, man. And it's been like a joy just because everyone is doing it. And
the other weird thing is professional video gamers. What's that about?
Oh, that's the fastest coming new sport, esports they call it.
That's crazy.
And people pay a lot of money to go watch these guys play these video games, which is probably gonna be, you know, I mean, Colin, let's be honest, man. When we were kids, or when we were growing up, or, you know, when we were raising our kids, we would see kids on bicycles out playing. I mean, now I look outside, there's nothing, no kids out playing, nobody playing stickball, nobody throwing a football or baseball or basketball. These guys are all inside playing video games, man. I mean, that's the next thing, I think, is just the video games.
I have a friend who's a big NASCAR fan, and I always tease him it's not a sport.
It's a lot of left turns.
I've driven a lot, so I right. know how hard it is, right?
Yeah.
But but I like to tease him anyways.
Yeah.
And but video games are not a sport. Come on.
It's what do you do?
Like, wear out your thumbs? I mean,
it's hand-eye coordination, Colin. It's harder than it looks.
It's still,
I mean,
not
I have a
sport.
Whole room dedicated to this.
Calligraphy's so. Not as hard as it looks, but it's not a sport. Or it's harder than it looks, but it's not a sport.
Hey. These guys are making $1 million. They're sponsored by a bunch of gaming companies. I mean, these guys are making good money. These kids, you know what I mean? Just for playing video games.
John, there's a sucker born every minute.
Oh man, hey, this thing's not gonna. It's not going. It's not trending down. I tell you that.
Oh, I know that.
I mean, there's people that pay to watch it on their computer, like a pay per view. Like, instead of watching a movie, they'll watch some guy play video games for hours and hours and hours.
So my 7-year-old started watching, about a year ago, started watching YouTube videos of people playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And it was like, no. So I set up.
I'll give you that. That is weird to watch other people play video games.
So I set up an IP scanner, so if his device tries to connect to YouTube, it kicks him off.
Yeah. That Minecraft, mind melted a lot of the youth. So we should pay some bills. But
yep, you're listening to KVON 1440.
Car shows in Napa? You bet. Two of them. A preview August 17th, 5 to 8:30 p.m. with 150 cars, and then the main event. Napa Main Street Reunion, Saturday, August 18th, from 10 to 3 p.m. on Main and 3rd Streets. 400 cars and trucks, all in mint condition. Best of all, both events are free. Thanks to Vassar Chevrolet Toyota, Blue Moon Beer, Bank of Marin, and Napa Valley Marketplace for making it all happen. Details at donapa.com.
Safeway Open, presented by Chevron, returns to Napa at the Silverado Resort and Spa October 3rd through the 7th. World Golf Hall of Famer Phil Mickelson and two-time defending champion Brendan Steele headline the field at the PGA Tour's season opener. When the golf ends, the music begins. The Safeway Open Concert Series kicks off on Thursday night with Sammy Hagar. Friday night features Young the Giant, and Saturday night, don't miss Billy Idol live from the Chevron stage. Daily tickets start at just $30 and include access to golf and concerts. New this year, 100% of ticket sales support fire relief right here in the Napa Valley. For tickets and information, visit SafewayOpen.com.
Community Grapevine. Greetings, Napa City Nights is proud to announce the 2018 Summer Concert Series every Friday night, 6:30 to 10 p.m., June 8th through August 24th at the Veterans Memorial Park Amphitheater in downtown Napa. Free live music for the whole family. Bring a blanket and put on your dancing shoes. Presented by Jeremy Nichol Sellers, Bergen Screen Printing and Etching, the City of Napa, and all of our fine sponsors. Visit our website at NapaCityNights.com or Facebook for the full calendar of events. Napa City Nights, where Napa makes music.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwemp speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation, where we say stop whatever you're doing, baby, and dance. Because movement is just one of the ways you can fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information, visit fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Matthews Mattress, your family and locally owned mattress store on Soskal Avenue in Napa, is your only source for Tempur-Pedic beds in the Napa Valley. And they have a large selection of brand name mattresses for you to try out in the most relaxing showroom you'll ever see. When you visit Matthews Mattress, you'll find the experience of buying a bed so much easier than you expect. They have free delivery. And if you buy by 5, you're sleeping by 9 o'clock on your new mattress.
Hi, this is Dustin. Come see me at Matthews Mattress on Soskal Avenue. We're your hometown mattress store since 1991.
Hola, mi valle.
This is Isela
and Gabriela,
your new host for La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela. Tune in to 1440 AM KVON
or stream KVON.com on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. to our new show, La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela, to learn and listen about current topics, events, and happenings that affect our community.
Listen to your powerhouse Latinas every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to 10, La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's soft! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Beer!
Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome back to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. Talking with John during the break, he brought out the limited Stone 22 Antimatter Double IPA.
Yeah, antimatter. Yeah. It's like dark matter. It exists, but does it really exist? We know it exists, but we don't know it exists, if that makes any sense.
We've made it.
What do you mean we've made it? They found it finally?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
They think we made it.
We made it a long time ago at CERN.
Well, I know they made a lot of stuff at CERN.
Yeah,
they took it.
Including antimatter.
Oh, not antimatter. I'm talking about dark matter.
Oh, dark matter. That we don't know a lot about. We're still trying to figure it out.
Antimatter. Yeah, of course they made that. But anyway,
They even made an anti-molecule.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool. What else are they doing at CERN? I always wondered what they're doing there.
I have a friend, and he's an anonymous guy on the internet, and he's a holographer. So I know him through holography. And
would you explain what holography is for the people listening, my beer nut friends that do not understand what holography is?
True three-dimensional pictures.
And, so holograms, and basically for holograms. The layman's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Holography is the art.
Oh, I know what it is, Colin. I'm just for the other people.
But real holograms, not all of this phony crap that you see on, yeah. Well, anyhow, so there's this guy who's really active in holography, and his online name is WLER. But in real life, he's a CERN physicist. And the reason why he uses his online name is because he's afraid all of his colleagues will think he's wasting his time with a silly little hobby like holography.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
And he's got to hide his hobby from his colleagues.
And holography is not an easy little hobby. You think, like, you know, those guys would be into that kind of stuff.
And Wheeler's really good at it. He's he's just really sharp and been active for 30 years that I've known him.
So they're trying. Has CERN actually made time travel? Have they actually made stuff go back in time?
No.
Not that they're saying.
They can make time stop.
Yeah, they do all kinds of stuff there. I don't even know if we should be talking about this place, CERN. I think they're trying to raise some kind of entities from other dimensions over there, man. I mean, that's what I really think they're trying to do. All this other stuff, antimatter, blah, blah, blah. You know, no, they're trying to, like, raise, like, other dimensional beings through a portal. So that's what I think.
So after about 15 years of just knowing Wheeler as this anonymous guy on the internet, we did a collaborative project. We designed a laser together, and so I ended up finding his real name, and I read a bunch of his papers.
Laser,
and they're really cool. His papers are just really fun to read.
All right, so I guess we should try our beer now after all this nerd talk.
Stone 22 antimatter.
That's how we got there. Big rant. Collins rant of antimatter.
So this is every year Stone does a limited double IPA, and
is this the 22 batch, you think, or is it in a $22 bottle, a 20 ounce?
No, this is the 22nd anniversary.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and. So this is the No Haze Double IPA. But interestingly, they used lots of words to describe it that are usually used for hazy IPAs.
So by stating that it's not a hazy, is maybe that it is a hazy, but they don't want to be a hazy.
So, yeah. I mean, this beer is crystal clear. Stone 22nd Anniversary Double IPA is a clean, crisp, perfectly filtered IPA that reinforces giant, juicy, hop-forward IPAs are a bailiwick of ours. Every year, we have a special recipe creation challenge with two-person teams from our brewing department we've called the Stone Spotlight Competition. This year's winner, Antimatter, there's no T, Antimatter, was brewed and named by Stone Brewers Jason Smith and Jose Flores. We felt it was a perfect candidate for our 22nd anniversary IPA, as it's not only an amazing IPA, but a perfect way to showcase the deep bench that is our talented and dedicated brewing team. This light amber-colored IPA features an incredible mouthfeel from the malted oats. Citrus rides in the forefront with plenty of fruit character to back it up. All in all, we felt this was the perfect IPA with which to say, here's to me, to you, and 22-2.
Here's to me, to you, and 22.
I feel like Ed McMahon whenever I'm reading on the air.
That was a long list of right reading there, Colin. Good job. I probably would have stopped halfway and just said, yeah, let's drink. But how is it?
I don't know. I've been talking. Yeah, you're supposed to be drinking while I'm talking. While you're talking, I can
get
drink.
It.
Isn't that how that works?
It usually does work.
That way we don't have dead air, right?
So my son brought me this back, which was pretty cool, because he went down to San Diego. The San Diego one is Stone. So
wow.
It's been traveling a little bit, and it does have a super hoppy,
yeah,
knock-in-the-face hop right there.
That is a lot of hops.
Yeah, so I know my wife was wanting to drink this with me, but don't worry, you wouldn't like this one, babe. It's very hoppy. So,
yeah, this might be a mouth puckering hop character.
Yeah, and it lasts on your tongue. It's not going away. Yep. You can still taste it there. Yep. It's not moving.
And there's a lot of residual sweetness in the beer, so that malt character and the hop character just linger and linger and linger.
Oh, this one definitely wakes you up.
I like this one.
I like it too, but. Yeah. You know, it takes a certain person to like this beer.
This is not a beer for everyone.
No, yeah, definitely not. It's for me. I love. I usually go for the double IPAs anyway. That's usually my standard.
But this isn't the California dry double IPA character that Pliny the Elder has taught us to appreciate. This is more like that East Coast IPA, like.
Toppy header.
Trillium. 60-minute IPA.
Yeah, this one definitely says, hey, I'm here. Look at me. Drink me. Don't ignore me. Or I'll punch you in the face every time you take a sip of me.
Yeah, and
I wasn't expecting this, actually. When I drank it and I looked at you and my eyes were big and your eyes were big. And we're just like, I didn't know if you were going to say you liked it or it was too over the top. But I do like it, so.
No, I like it, too. I think it's really good. I think they did a great job on this. It's really not a California IPA, and that's fun.
And it's not hazy.
Really. Not at all. It's clear. Crystal clear.
You can see.
But the Dogfish 60 and 90 minute aren't clear either. But this has got the residual maltiness like the 60 minute and the 90 minute from Dogfish. Is it not hazy, rather?
Yeah, it's not. It's not hazy. It's 9.1. So
yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah,
it's big. It's about right where I like it, in between 7.5 and 9. It's usually, for some reason, the alcohol content I like to hang with. Maybe because I don't have to drink a whole bunch of these beers. You know, make a lot of bathroom trips, you know. No offense, but some of those light beers they have, you know, that have been around a while, takes me, because I'm a big guy, a while to get to the level I'd like to. So in the meantime, I'm in the bathroom a lot, if that makes any sense.
So, you know, I don't get showered in beer very often anymore. You know,
my
day job now, it involves small quantities of beer periodically, where, you know, doing 5-gallon batches or 3-gallon batches, lots of trial brewing like that. So there's beer around, but never the 300-gallon tank that erupts a spout of foam into the sky kind of brewing. Yesterday, I was working on a new a bottle filler and took a beer shower for the first time in a really long time. And the best way to test a bottle filler is to take the most highly carbonated beer you can find and see if it works. So we were bottling Coors Light yesterday as a trial.
Yeah.
Took a shower in Coors Light. It's like,
that's not too bad. It could be worse. It could be some sticky, you know, some sticky stout, you know, your favorite peanut butter stout.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would make you real happy. I took a shower of beer yesterday, too. For some reason, I dropped a beer I usually don't. And it was in front of a bunch of people because the side I worked, the taps are right in front of everybody. So when I was pouring the beer, I guess the condensation from the cold beer from the glass built a little slippery glail between the glass and my finger, and the whole full pint just dropped, hit the spill tray, bounced back up, and went right all over me. Like,
oh, geez.
A whole pint. And it was too busy. I was like, you know what? I'll just work with the beer on me. Who cares? So, like, I couldn't change. I couldn't even wipe it up off of me. For some reason, last night with the karaoke and I thought it was going to be a slow night because I thought, you know, it was back to school, kids are getting ready, people aren't going out, everyone's, you know, buying what they got, you know, buying clothes or whatever. But last night was packed, and the Raiders coaches were there, which was cool, like I said. And it was a late night, so today was kind of like, oh, radio show, okay, here we go. So this beer is doing its job, keeping me awake. Cheers to that.
You know, cheers to Stone. They did a great job with this. I'm glad they broke out of the West Coast IPA mold that they, you know, helped build and recognize that you don't have to stick with your.
I know when you like a beer is when you drink it faster than I do.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen that often. So
no, it doesn't. And so what I find I noticed this at Joe's, the lacing on the glass changes with how big of a swallow you take. And I used to watch the lacing at the bar. I used to walk out to the bar, you know, everybody'd have beers in front of them, and you could look at the lacing and see how big of swallows people took. And the more they like the beer, the bigger of a swallow they take, and the fewer of those lace rings will be around the glass.
Yeah. Yours has like one. One lace.
I used to use that as recipe formulation.
Oh, yeah. Just say, hey, this guy likes this beer, so I'll keep it going.
Yeah, right. I see what change I made, and the rings are, on average, are bigger. And
I thought it was what you call the delicious factor.
That is, yeah. That's part of the delicious factor, yeah. That's a Brian Hunt word.
All right. I promised one of my beer nuts out there, hello, uh-oh, beer nuts, that I would actually put this, give a shout-out to anyone who likes old cars. They're having a car show. It's called Show and Shine. Anyone in Napa, anyone out of Napa, you actually can drive to Napa and come watch this. It's Friday, August 17th from 5 to 8:30. And then they're doing it again on Saturday because you can't have just one car show, right? You can just leave them overnight. And 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the first one is going to be on Sosco and Pearl, so it's going to be a little bit not as close to downtown, but the one on Saturday is going to be downtown. It's going to be Main Street and 3rd Street, so that's going to be right down by downtown jail. So anyone want to come look at some cars and then come see me and pick up a beer, I'll be there. So you got something to do.
I was in my 20s when I moved to Napa, but you grew up here, so you might know this. When I moved to Napa, and this is back, you know, with the old bridge and the big metal bridge, big green metal bridge.
Yeah, the train bridge.
Yeah. Not the train bridge. The one they replaced on Imola.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Yep. The first Friday that school was in every year, all the kids would bring their hot rods out. All the high school kids would bring their hot rods out the first Friday. They called it cruise night.
Yeah. And they used to cruise up and down Sosco and Jefferson also.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Does that still happen?
It's not as much. You know, you would think it would happen more often, but the cruise nights aren't as prevalent with this younger generation as it was with not only my generation, but your generation, Colin, and then and then even older than that, Colin. Even older than Colin.
Boy, now you're making me feel old.
Yeah, the next generation before Colin, even, that cruising was really big. You know, they did that whole show. What was it? They filmed it over around us with the cruising.
Oh, I don't know.
You do know.
No, I don't know.
It's on all the time.
John, I haven't had Lucas TV in like 20 years.
So it was one of Lucas's films.
Oh, George Lucas?
Yeah.
Oh, the
car one.
Yeah, I do know which one you mean.
Everybody knows what we're talking about. Everyone knows what we're talking about.
Was that one filmed here?
It was close to here,
American, yeah. Or America?
Yes. We know, Colin.
Oh, man. Maybe my research assistant will chime in on that one.
Yeah, but that one's, I mean, that's
big. American Graffiti.
Yes, a classic.
Yeah.
Classic. I mean, that's when cruising was really big.
The squirrels turn slow as you get old, but they keep turning.
Hey, everyone out there knew what we were talking about, so they're all yelling into the radio. So, but yeah, but American Graffiti is a classic, and one of the ones that, you know, started making George Lucas more known, more pronounced. But the cruising was big, you know. You go down to the Mills Diners or whatever, and you meet your girl, and I don't see that anymore with the youth today. I mean, they like their cars. They're more like race, you know, and it's all about money and give me your pink slip. And
There was some of that in the 50s too. And
yeah, I mean, there was racing, but not to the level that it is now, where these kids, I mean, the cars right now, they go way, way more faster than they used to. I mean, there's better turning and better suspension. I mean, but as far as
it used to be just quarter miles, right?
Yeah, but as far as cruising, it's not as prevalent as it was when me and you and generation
but after. What do they call the sideshows? Is that what
the sideshows? Yeah, they do those.
I've seen those in the city.
Yeah, those things
down in Oakland.
You just walk around and you'll see a cloud of smoke, and that's more show, less racing, but on the same premises of hey, check out my car. Here I am. You know, it's like it's a mating ritual. I'm going to make the biggest smoke ring around. And
I work in an industrial complex in the middle of nowhere, and every Monday morning there's new rings in the parking lot. So, yeah they must use our parking lot as a sideshow.
Yeah, so we'll keep drinking beer, Colin. American Graffiti, that was a good one. I mean, that's one of the classic shows. You can always just turn that on and watch that.
You know, I haven't seen it in probably 30 years, but, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it's just nostalgia, you know. It'll bring you back. Not that I'm old enough to know, but that one is very resonant with my father and my mother and the whole generation. The Grease and all that.
I have that odd sense of film, so I'm much more likely to watch THX 1138.
Oh yeah, that actually is happening now. Just so you know, that was like that was a real.
Yeah, I think that was Lucas. Wasn't that Lucas? It was either Lucas or Spielberg.
Yeah, it was Lucas. I think it was the first one.
It was college film.
Yeah, that's the one that got him going.
Yeah.
But, yeah. He has his ranch out here, you know, Lucas Ranch, and they do. He's speaking of wineries and stuff. They have a whole complex out there where he makes wine, and he has his own fire department and Lucas Ranch, Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah, Skywalker Ranch in Lucas Valley.
Yeah, that's cool.
Down there just north of Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a really good woodworker. And in the 80s, he gets a contract to make 100 chairs for their cafeteria. So this is a money is no object process, right? And he steam bends all of these beautiful oak parts to make these chairs. And just beautiful, beautiful, big rotating curves and just stunning chairs. When I started working for him, in 93. He had some of the chair parts, enough to build four chairs. And I was just over visiting him a couple months ago. And he still has all the parts to build four chairs.
Well, get on it, man. Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't think he'll ever do it. Yeah. He just likes showing off the cool curves that he
Look at these curves I made with steam.
Yep. Steam bent. Yeah. Wow. And, we used to steam bend guitar necks, while I was there. So, I did a bunch of steam bent guitar necks.
So I'm looking at this beer right now, and I'm wondering why they left off the T, like you said.
I don't know.
Annie. I mean, it has to mean something, right?
Maybe Annie's one of the girlfriends. I don't know.
We'll go with that. Yeah. So this is a limited edition. I don't know if you're going to be able to find that out there in beer land unless you're going
unless
to
Unless you're down south, yeah.
Down south. I don't know even if they have it in Napa. It'd be cool if a beer nut would chime in. Maybe later and let me know that if they have the 22 Antimatter beer in Napa, because I like it a lot. It'd be kind of cool to pick up a couple more and maybe let one sit a while, see how it
it'd be cool if the Napa guys would come on the show, actually.
Yeah, you want
we
me
could
to
ask
bug them
directly.
We can bug them again.
Well, yeah, we can try.
Just bug them until they come on the show.
I couldn't even get them to come to the table, much less the show.
You need a signed autograph. You need to call corporate and get it okayed. Well, you know, he got in some trouble, right, with some things he said. So maybe there's, like, a big protocol now.
Who did Greg?
Yeah.
The owner? Or
yeah, the main guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyone look it up. I'm not going to get into it because, you know, I want to get him on the show. But anyway.
A lot of these old beer guys are willing to say whatever they want. I know Lagunitas has tweeted some things that they apologized for later.
So I heard a rumor, and this is strictly a rumor from Lagunitas, you know, bartenders hear things. I'm not sure if it's true or not, that they're going to do a weed-infused beer, or it's already been done, or you can only get one there.
Nope.
You got shut
can't,
down?
Can't be done. There's no way they can do it.
Well, that's the rumor.
They can't do it,
or it's maybe they did it. I don't know.
Well, if they can't do it and have it have any THC.
Okay.
So that's kind of the deal. Basically, so
there's something going on there. I don't know exactly.
The permission that they have to brew is federal. Marijuana is illegal in the federal world. So they would lose their license instantly.
Yeah.
You know, they would lose all everything.
Well, they do the famous 420 beer and Waldo beer. And
in the old days, they used to do a 420 party.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, they that became Beer Circus. The 420 party became Beer Circus. That was the predecessor to Beer Circus. So they used to shut down the parking lot, and you'd camp overnight in the parking lot and on 420.
So I used to go to a festival where you used to camp, Colin. I remember you telling me this maybe 2-3 years ago.
And Boonville. Yeah.
Boonville.
Yeah. But it's still going on. Boonville Beer Festival.
And when is that usually rolling around? That just seems like a good time.
I think it's like May. Okay. We'll announce it this spring. It's springtime.
Seems like a good time. Just go out there and meet all the brewers and everyone's making beer and you just camp and you just walk around and drink beer.
Well, so that's – no, it's a little different than that. So,
well, that's what I got out of it.
Okay, so you camp the night before the festival.
All right.
Then the brewers have a separate campground from the customers.
Really?
And then you all go and have a festival together, and then you go back to your separate campgrounds for another night. That way nobody has to drive.
Is that basically what I said?
but you don't get to walk around the campground and taste beer. The festival is actually at the fairground.
Festival.
Yeah. So there's a night of prep for the festival and then a night to recover from the festival, which are the main parties. The festival's kind of the sideshow in this big camping adventure.
In the meantime, you have beer and you're cooler, I hope, when you're camping, and then you can walk over and, right, there's a bunch of beer people there, so they all have beer, yeah?
Yeah. So I used to go.
You can do it.
I used to go with 120 gallons of beer.
See?
Just for the campground.
There you go.
Yeah.
So how are we doing on time, Colin?
We're out.
I know.
You've been listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 57cash.com is one of the nation's